Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And a good Wednesday to you and yours. It is DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. In what seems like the same exact day as we had yesterday and the day before and the day before that. So, Rick, a happy Groundhog Day to you and yours.
Happy hump day, Dave.
Yes.
Happy hump day.
How long does it take you when you get going in the morning to realize what actual day of the week it is?
I'm pretty good with the day of the week just because I have, you don't know how early I wake up, so I have the TV on. It's just it finally sets in that it's going to be the exact same day.
The exact same
when
day.
When I put the same sweatpants on and in the same sweatshirt. That's when I realize, this is going to be exactly the same day.
How long did it take you, Chris, to realize today, in fact, is Wednesday?
Well, it didn't take me long, Dave. I mean, it's the Humpty Hump. We were trying to help everybody get over. I feel like Rick should have an interesting take. But then I realized that it's my day to have a hot take, and I don't know whether you did it intentionally or unintentionally, but we didn't get to the NFL 2010s All-Decade Team, and my hot take for the week was involved with that. So I can't wait to the portion of the show when we can dive a little further deeper into that conversation.
Do you feel like your hot take will be achievable for us to guess, or do you think it's very difficult?
I don't think it's difficult to guess. If you guys pay attention to anything that I tweet, then you would have seen yesterday what my hot take was pertaining to.
Okay. All right.
Russell Wilson should have been the All-Decade Team.
That may or may not be it.
I got too much time in my hands, Candy. Too much time.
What are you following? You're a dangerous man. You're a dangerous guy.
Following his Twitter, the letter to the law, you know exactly what he's tweeting at all times?
Not at all times, but I mean, occasionally if I have a chance to slip away for like 3 or 4 minutes, I'll just, check on my guys, see what they're tweeting, see what they're up to.
Between the kids and Cass and everything that you got going on, how do you have time for that?
It's usually in the toilet, to be completely honest.
a now very functional toilet.
Very functional toilet. Terrific.
Have we had issues with that toilet since the catastrophe last week?
No, the only issue is, it's almost too good now. Like, yeah, I almost have to get up. I'm scared it's going to suck me in.
You're past the point where you have to do a test flush. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
No. This thing is humming.
Okay.
Humming. Knock on wood.
All right. Okay.
You heard the level of plunging I was doing. I mean, that was aggressive plunging.
Yeah, but you weren't following directions well. That was what was bothersome to me. Is the master plumber called and said he wants very slow plunges, and you were plunging like it was the last day on earth.
Yeah, I was a madman, but I'm trying to explain to you that the water kept disappearing. The water was just disappearing, so I had to take advantage. When I had the water, I had to go after it. I couldn't go slow.
Explain to you.
Yeah, but this is what I had to do, Dave. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. When you got two kids, there's certain things that you need to rush that you'd rather not. But I mean, you got to get the job done.
I have an unbelievable toilet overflowing story. Maybe I'll share with you later.
No, you, not maybe, you will. Like, I mean, set a time. Like, this is what I need.
11:40.
Perfect.
11:40. I will give you the story. Let me write this down.
Write that down, please.
Very good chance that I will
put it on the schedule.
Toilet overflow story.
I love it.
It's one of the greats. Like, it could only happen to me. This story. Only.
Now you've piqued my interest.
No, wait. Whatever you think that you're in store for with this story, it far outdistances itself. It is unbelievable, this story.
This is perfect.
Celebrities are involved. I mean, it is unbelievable. It really is.
That's enough. That's a good, that's a good taste. That's a good tease. Don't give anything away.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, too, how dare you?
What did I do?
I'm sitting here, I'm combing through, I mean, from the time I wake up to the time it hits 12:30, I'm looking for observations, and you just want to hold, I mean, what you had yesterday, I would have had you lead observations with that story.
Well, no, and herein lies the issue, because I don't want to step on your toes when it comes to observations. So you started it, and I figured that's the story you were going with. I know you scoured the Post every day. It was in the Post, this soccer player who had the sex party. I figured you would have gone with that. I didn't realize you didn't have it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If I had the actual New York Post, like if I had the papers in my hand, I probably would have had it. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not great with the
online Post?
The online version. I'm not good at it.
What does that mean? Like you don't read well online, or you can't sit and navigate through it?
I there's something about having the paper in your hand. I don't miss anything. Like I feel like I'm missing things. So I got to click on this, and then it takes time for it to load. It's too much going on. I'm not a big technology guy.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Well, from now on, whenever I see a story of that ilk, I will get it over to you immediately.
No. Listen, you feel free. You want to jump in?
I don't want to steal
your story.
It's your baby. I don't want to steal your observations.
No, it's the show's baby. And at a certain point, the baby grows up, and then we all get to, you know, experience, you know, different things. And maybe I want to just occasionally decide, you know, have to guess if it happened in Florida. You never know.
Oh. I mean, I could start to do some did it happen in Florida research and then throw those at you as well. I could.
See, I like that. That could be a nice little twist.
I could. I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to host an observations one day, but I could. I mean, that's on the table. It's all on the table.
But this is what we're doing, Dave. This at a certain point, I mean, under the circumstances,
we're breaking barriers. That's what we're doing.
Oh, man. Desperate times call for desperate measures, David.
Yes, yes, they certainly do. So Tom Brady spoke to Howard Stern earlier today, and we're going to get the audio from that and play some snippets. But my understanding is, and this is not a huge surprise, Chris, he didn't say a whole lot that is unbelievably earth-shattering from one Tom Brady.
No, I didn't think we would get anything that was inflammatory, but what I did think was interesting is that Tom Brady said that he knew before the season that he probably wasn't going to finish his career
right
with the New England Patriots. And I guess it should be obvious, the last couple of off seasons prior, Tom Brady wanted to do a contract extension with the organization, and Bill Belichick was reluctant to do it, just recognizing that Tom Brady was in unprecedented territory. We hadn't seen a quarterback play as well as Tom Brady had played at that advanced age. And so Belichick was going to go year to year. And Brady clearly wanted some security from whatever organization he was going to be a part of, because his ultimate goal was being able to play until he was 45. Something that he said a while ago, and I guess everybody thought it was tongue in cheek, but he was sincere in that objective. And he wanted an organization. He wanted a team that was going to facilitate him being able to do that. And he realized the Patriots weren't going to be that organization, so he had to take his talents to Tampa Bay.
You know what I thought was interesting, too, in having read the Tom Brady article in the Players Tribune? I mean, a couple things that stood out for me that he said. He says, physically, I'm as capable of doing my job as I've ever been. So in his mind, you know, he's more than capable of being the quarterback that he needs to be for whatever team that ends up being. And then what also stood out in that article is, I'm ready to embrace fully a team that is confident in what I do and what I bring. And it almost felt like that after 20 years, and going off of what Chris just said, like the fact that he wants to play until he's 45, and then he physically feels like he's capable of doing that and giving his team the best chance to win, it almost felt like, just trust me. I'm telling you I can play. Just trust that. And don't let me become a free agent. I mean, for him, the writing was on the wall once they let his contract. Once you toy with the idea of being a free agent, it's almost like, you know, if you've been dating your girl for a while and she's waiting for the ring, and then you like she comes with the, well, unless you put a ring on my finger, I think we should start dating other people. If you let her start dating other people, I mean, the writing's on the wall. You're not getting married. That's it.
Once she goes on the one date with anyone else, the relationship is now forever doomed.
Yeah, and that's what this feels like. I think Tom Brady would still, if they had committed to Tom Brady, if they sat down and had the conversation and Tom Brady said, hey, listen, you got to trust me. I'm telling you I can play. I promise that, I mean, you're not going to, and if there is a decline, then we can readjust. But here's what I want to do. And if they had just done it, he'd still be a Patriot. I believe that.
Yeah, I think once it got to the point where Tom Brady had to give an ultimatum to the organization, you know, when you're telling Bill Belichick, either you're going to extend me or I'm going to leave, I think that the writing was on the wall at that point. Like, it's not even about Tom Brady toying with the idea of being a free agent. If he realizes that the Patriots aren't going to meet his contract demands and give him that opportunity to play till he's 45, then he was going to be out of the door. And I think both parties were okay with that. And that's the interesting part about it. It feels like the more and more we hear Tom Brady talk, the more and more it sounds like he was at peace with the decision. You know, and it's hard to, I guess it's hard for me to understand that just because I recognize how players are creatures of habit, and guys that start with one organization and stay as long as Tom Brady has ultimately want to finish their entire career there. But that wasn't Tom Brady's priority. His priority was playing until 45, not playing for only one team.
Yeah, see, I think I disagree with that a little bit, Chris. I think the fact that Tom Brady had a conversation with Robert Kraft and had a conversation with Bill Belichick leading up to this season as far as his contract was concerned, and they said it was okay for him to become a free agent, that was probably a slap in the face to him. Like, why would you be okay with me being a free agent? Like, what, I mean, you're going to let me go test the market? I mean, that would be kind of a shock to the system, I would imagine. I mean, having all that success then after 20 years. And it's not like he got crazy money. I could understand if he wanted $35 million bucks a year, $37 million bucks a year, I could understand it. But he settled for $25 million bucks a year. It's not crazy money.
Oh, you think he's still bothered by the fact that he had to leave New England?
Yes. I think that if they had just said, if they had never entertained the idea of him being a free agent, and they just said to him, hey, listen, we're not going to let you do that. We want you here for however long it is. If it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is, we want you to retire a New England Patriot. They showed that kind of faith, that kind of confidence in him. I think he'd still be a Patriot.
Well, yeah, Ricky's doing
like a couple of years ago, they went the other way, right? Like Kraft came to his defense, and a couple of years ago, Belichick wanted to move on, and they even had success after that. So I don't think it comes as a surprise that we got to this point with Belichick and New England wanting to move on from him.
No, I'm not surprised with Belichick. I think that if I was Tom Brady, I would be most surprised with probably Robert Kraft because of their relationship.
Reading into it, who knows how
he felt. I can't tell you how he felt, but just reading into what he said today on Howard Stern and then what he wrote in the article, I mean, he truly believes that he's the same Tom Brady. Like, there's been no slip in his play. So if that's what you believe, and that's what you're telling Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, and they don't trust that, and they're not willing to commit to you, I mean, you can spin it however you want it. I mean,
sure.
That would affect me. Like, I would be a little disappointed if I was Tom Brady.
Well, but I guess that's where I'm coming from, Rick. I mean, I would have a whole lot more venom, and I wouldn't go out of my way to try to hide it if I was Tom Brady, if Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft showed me the door. But that's not what Tom Brady is doing. It doesn't feel like he's gone scorched earth since he signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It feels like he's turning the page on something and he's looking forward to another chapter. He's not focusing on what happened in New England. He's not lamenting anything. It seems like he's good with whatever they've done over the past couple of decades, but he's looking forward to what's going to happen these next few years down in Tampa. I guess that's the part of it that surprises me when I listen to the Howard Stern interview that he did. When you listen to all the comments and all the articles that have been posted about his decision, I feel like he could have had a whole lot more heat for the Patriots and Kraft and Belichick, and he didn't go down that road.
Well, I just don't think it's in anyone's best interest. I mean, I think, you know, maybe potentially if this was something that happened, you know, 5 years ago, and he had another, you know, 8 years left where he could really stick it to the Patriots, then maybe he does go scorched earth. But I mean, you spend 20 years with an organization, you're considered the greatest of all time. I mean, I think he's smart enough to realize it does him no good long term to burn any bridges. Where, I mean, ultimately, New England, the Patriots, that's going to be, I mean, they'll build a statue. That's going to be his home.
And both sides. Like, it would be ridiculous for Belichick or anybody within the organization to say anything negative about him, and vice versa. I mean, they have done more winning than any coach, quarterback, coach player combination in the history of the NFL. So it would be ridiculous if either side would come out and take any kind of shots on the other, I would think.
Yeah, I hear you on that, Dave. But if Tom Brady really feels a way about it, I don't think it tarnishes his legacy in any way, shape, or form if he says that the Patriots didn't want me back. How does that make him look bad?
I don't think to say that is a huge shot. I would agree with that.
No, but that's not a shot.
But here's the thing, though. But it's almost like now by approaching it the way he's approached it, you get the best of both worlds. Like, we can sit here and have conversations back and forth. Whose fault was it? You know, why didn't it work out? But the reality is, if he approaches it the way he's approached it, and the Patriots have approached it the way that they've approached it, it's just like you can kind of, I mean, you can kind of come to the conclusion that after 20 years, like all good things sometimes come to an end. Like it's just that.
And that's what I was saying. It feels like Tom Brady is at peace with the fact that he's not going to finish his career in New England. And the reality is, based on what he said in that Stern interview, knowing going into last year that that was probably going to be his last season, it gives him an entire season to come to grips with the fact that he's not going to finish his career in New England. And for a player, when you give a guy that much time to get used to an idea, it usually is a little bit easier to wrap your mind around it and to settle into the fact that you're going to be transitioning and going somewhere else.
No, I think, I think you feel the way. I think you feel that way because that's exactly how Tom Brady wants you to feel about this, is that he is at peace with it. And let's be honest. I mean, he could have said anything he wanted. He could have gone scorched earth. The only thing that, or for me, the one thing that would make the biggest statement and would answer the question that we've been asking over the last 10 years would be for him all of a sudden now to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer and help them win a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick. That would be the ultimate, you know, up yours if you're Tom Brady.
Yep. Then you get the last laugh. If they win, and I mean, certainly the Super Bowl is the ultimate, but if they have a playoff year, if they win the division, if they win a playoff game, like any level, any semblance of success, and coupled with lack of success with New England, right? I mean, this is a battle. And you know, like, here's a question for you. Two part. If it's you and if it's Brady. Rick, if it's you, same situation, do you hope that New England now fails?
Yes.
So you hope that they go 6-10 and are just a bad football team?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Chris, you feel the same way?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want the team to be okay without you.
Even if you have success. So if Brady goes and he goes 11-5 and they go to the playoffs, you think he still wants New England to go 6-10?
Yes. No. I would agree with that. You don't have to be rational, Dave. It doesn't have to be something where you're reasonably minded. I think that players want to be missed. Players want people to see their real value, and for decades we've been having a conversation, who's more responsible for the Patriots dynasty, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? Now, whether it's right or wrong, these next couple of years with Tom in Tampa Bay will be a referendum on who's more responsible for that team's success.
Yeah, I really believe he's hurt, Dave. I mean, he's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. I think deep down inside, he's hurt by this decision for them to not bring him back.
Well, let's take a listen. Here is Tom Brady on the Stern Show earlier today. Did you have more success because you played for Belichick, or did he have more success because he had you as the quarterback?
The fact that you could say, would I be successful without him, the same level of success, I don't believe I would have been. But I feel the same in vice versa as well. The to have him allowed me to be the best I could be. So I'm grateful for that. And I very much believe that he feels the same about me because we've expressed that to each other.
I think I would agree with that. Like, neither one of these guys would have the same success without the other one alongside. There's no way.
Now, here's the thing, though. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? It's almost like the chicken laid the egg and then raised the egg. And then he raised the baby. For him to draft Tom Brady, and then all of a sudden, under those circumstances where Drew Bledsoe, who, I mean, oh, by the way, was a first overall pick, was a $100 million quarterback, that he has enough confidence to put Brady in there and then keep Brady in. I mean, that right there, for me, if I'm Tom Brady, you know, I have a special place in my heart for Bill Belichick. You believed in me, and now all of a sudden that blossoms into, now Tom Brady is willing to buy into whatever Bill Belichick's selling. So now he's created, in the most important position in sports, a guy who feels like he's indebted to Bill Belichick. So now all of a sudden it becomes the perfect marriage because he knows he can coach him hard, and he knows that whatever he's selling, that Brady's going to help sell to the rest of the team. It's like the perfect relationship. I mean, it's the perfect, it's almost like what you see with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson now in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, it's the perfect marriage between these two guys, and I think they both needed the other one desperately, and I also think it makes for a great storyline this year. I mean, to see what each can do without the other, and, You know, I don't know if you guys have heard Todd McShay speak about this over the last couple weeks, but he does not think that Jarrett Stidham is remotely close to being a good starting quarterback in this league. So we're going to find out a lot, Chris. We're going to find out a lot about Bill Belichick. Tampa should be good. I'd be surprised if Tampa wasn't at a minimum a good football team. We're going to find out a lot about what New England and Belichick is this season.
Yeah, we're going to find out a lot about it, but I think that the Patriots' decision to move on from Tom Brady is not necessarily all about this season, but it's about setting the team up for future success.
I agree with that. Yeah.
It's about what happens to the quarterback position beyond 2020, and I think that they realized they had to rip the Band-Aid off of that Brady situation in order to get to the next chapter of Patriots football, and this year could be a year of transition. It doesn't feel like the Patriots have a lot of great options. Now, of course, that becomes fluid. We'll see what happens with the rest of the offseason. I mean, Cam Newton's out there. Andy Dalton is probably going to be made available after the Bengals take Joe Burrow with the first overall pick. So we'll see what happens. But I think that the Patriots realized that they had to move on. It got to the point where Tom Brady wanted a multi-year commitment from whatever team he was going to be playing for. And it was apparent that the Patriots weren't going to go down that road.
You know what it is, though, Dave, too, the more you think about it, it's almost recognition from Bill Belichick that when you look at the Kansas Cities of the world and Baltimore's and, you know, the Niners, like you look at, you know, where some of these teams are at, it's almost recognition that having Tom Brady makes us good enough where we can compete or people think we can compete, mm-hmm. but not good enough to win us a championship. So until he's gone, we really can't reboot the way we need to reboot to put ourselves back to where we need to be to win a championship.
But what can they do? And so I guess the rebooting can't take place in one offseason, right?
No, I mean, you look at the players they let go, too. I mean, you're talking about Jamie Collins, Van Noy. I mean, you lost big pieces of your defense, which was the calling card of your team last year. You're going to have, you know, Jarrett Stidham as your starting quarterback with, I mean, they haven't really improved the offensive weapons. So, I mean, maybe this is for the Patriots a chance to kind of reboot, take a step back, and then, you know, hopefully find if it's this draft or next year's draft. Find their next quarterback. It almost reminds me of what happens, like what happened in the NBA when people realized that Golden State was just, I mean, no one could beat Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let's just put ourselves in a position once, you know, once Golden State's not the same team that we can be at a point where we can compete. It just feels like even though the Patriots won 12 games, I think we saw, especially in the second half of the season, I mean, a lot of it was smoke and mirror. Like they weren't where they needed to be
no.
to beat Pat Mahomes in Kansas City or to beat Baltimore.
No.
Wasn't going to happen.
No, they were not a great team by any stretch. Their defense was good. It had flaws as the season went on. Offensively, they were not great. And, I mean, they lost at home to Tennessee, right? I think of the six teams in the postseason, the five other teams, they could have lost to anybody. They lost to Miami in a game they really needed in week 17, which prevented them from getting a bye. So, yes, this at the end of the season, you know, they say the NFL season is so long and it ebbs and flows and so many things can happen. They went from being one of the favorites to being there's really almost no chance that they're going to win the Super Bowl by the time we got to the postseason.
Yeah.
You're almost, you know what, Chris, you're almost like a victim of your own success, you know? Like, it's like, I mean, being at Milo's hockey tournament in Boston, listening to Sports Talk Radio talk about the Patriots and criticize Bill Belichick, like, no one in New England was happy with just winning 12 games. Like, if you're a Jets or Giants fan. No, but that's the reality of it. I mean, they're a victim of their own success. So I think in Bill Belichick's mind, and you'd imagine at 43, 44, and 45, I mean, it's only going to make it harder to surround him with enough talent that, I mean, he's trying to win a championship. And maybe this offseason, had they been able to make a trade for DeAndre Hopkins or Steph Diggs, maybe Tom Brady still is the quarterback. But the fact is, I mean, he probably felt like he couldn't make enough upgrades where he could put this team in a position to actually win a championship.
Yeah, Rick, you're absolutely right. Bill Belichick is trying to win a championship. He's also trying to catch Don Shula. And when you look at how old Belichick is, you recognize that he's not going to have that many more cracks at being able to have successful seasons and having a chance to close that gap. So I think it's interesting that Tom Brady, who wanted 2 to 3 more seasons to play, Bill Belichick didn't think that Tom Brady was going to be good enough to have them compete at a championship level, but also to help him accomplish his goal of being able to catch Don Shula.
Yeah, I think the reality, too, when you look at this Patriots team, is if I can't get DeAndre Hopkins, as far as my first-round pick is concerned, I don't have a very high first-round pick. Haven't had a lot of success drafting wide receivers in the first-round period. And then on top of that, I can't get Hopkins or Steph Diggs, and one of the best, if not the best, defenses in the National Football League last year, and that wasn't good enough. What would lead you to believe that this year is going to be good enough?
Yeah, probably wouldn't have been. They probably would have been I still think they probably would have won the division. They would have found their way to 10 or 11 games, and them and Buffalo would have.
But here's the other thing. This is why he's so good at what he does, though, Bill Belichick. Knowing that now only the number one seed gets a bye, mm-hmm. in the history of the Patriots, when they don't get a bye in the playoffs, that doesn't usually lead to a Super Bowl. And your quarterback's 43. So now he's going to play an extra playoff game? I just not. I mean, ultimately, it's probably as tough as it was to make that decision. It's probably long-term the smarter decision. If he's trying to win a, I mean, if he's trying to win a Super Bowl, which I'm sure he is.
You think it's there's no chance of Cam Newton winding up in New England now?
No, the money doesn't make sense.
So you really believe it's going to be Stidham to start the season? I wouldn't have thought that. I'm surprised by that they're going to go with this completely unproven quarterback.
Yeah, but he's already got equity built up with the fan base. I mean, he's already got equity built up, period. Like, if they decide that this is going to be the season where they take a step back, they're going to have how many different compensatory picks from what they lost this season in next year's draft? I mean, maybe he has his eye on next year's draft, trying to move up and get a quarterback.
I'm sure there's a plan.
Maybe he takes a run. Maybe the Patriots take a run at Trevor Lawrence next year or Justin Fields.
You better hope to God that doesn't happen.
I don't think they'll be that bad.
I'm saying a prayer right now.
Nah. If they're awful, you better root for them.
Yeah, I don't think the Patriots are going to be the worst team in the National Football League. So I don't think they'll be in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes.
No. In fact, I'd say there's a better chance that they're a 10-win team than a 3-win team.
Yes. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do at the quarterback position. They're up against it with the salary cap, but we don't know what the market is going to be like for Cam Newton, how much money that's going to actually cost. We don't know what's going to happen with Andy Dalton. I think it's still relatively early in the offseason, and the Patriots still have a lot of options because we're still on this side of the NFL draft.
Yeah, here's the other thing, though, to take into account. I mean, we're sitting here talking about the greatest quarterback of all time. The greatest quarterback of all time lost his job to Drew Henson in Michigan, was a 6th-round pick. I mean, at a certain point 2 years ago, Jarrett Stidham was considered a first-round talent. I mean, would you be shocked if all of a sudden he turned Jarrett Stidham into a really good NFL quarterback?
No.
I wouldn't count on it, but I wouldn't be shocked by it.
No, I wouldn't be shocked, but right now, with similar weapons to what they had last year, I still believe Brady's a better quarterback, so I would be surprised if Stidham could come in and lead them to anything.
No, I'm not saying lead them to anything, but develop into your franchise quarterback. I mean, wouldn't you want to, rather than have Tom Brady be your quarterback, you can't upgrade the offensive weapons. So you have another season where you have a lot of success in the regular season, but you flame out in the playoffs. I mean, okay, that's good for what? And then, or would I rather have Jarrett Stidham play a full season? Maybe we win 6 games.
Yeah, see what he is.
Shows. I mean, that's probably more to your benefit, I would imagine. What if Jarrett Stidham turns into a stud?
That would be their loss. You said it.
He would have came a long way in a year. I put it that way. Because the times that we saw him last year in the regular season, I didn't look great.
No, it didn't. He didn't look
overwhelmed.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, if all of a sudden you go, you know, 8 weeks into the season, and between Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, Jarrett Stidham has emerged as a legitimate franchise quarterback. That'd be a bigger win than losing in the first round of the playoffs.
Yes. If you made it through the season, you won 7 games, and you said, we have our quarterback of the future, that would be a successful season for New England.
So maybe that's how he's looking at it. And how, I mean, at this point, with what he's accomplished, how could you not trust what, I mean, how could you,
you
not trust
to.
Him?
You have to. Until he leads you down just to, I don't even know at what point I would look at Belichick and be like, I just can't believe this guy. Like, they could be awful this year. Like, I have to believe he has a master plan in place, and he will figure out a way to get this thing done and done properly.
I wouldn't put it past them, unfortunately. As a Jets fan, I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, you're talking about a guy that is every single detail. Like, he's scouting weather reports, you know, the week leading up to the game, which way the wind's going to be blowing, the sun. Like, I mean, this guy, every I is dotted, every T is crossed. I mean, that's who he is.
There's no way he doesn't have a plan.
Well, no, I think he's got a plan, and I guess that's what Robert Kraft is banking on, because it feels like that's what ultimately happened with the Brady Belichick situation. It was Robert Kraft deciding he was going to side with Belichick over Tom Brady, and it wasn't that way a couple of years ago, where Tom Brady went over Belichick's head and forced the Patriots to trade Jimmy Garoppolo the guy that was supposed to be the succession plan for Tom. So it just feels like the owner has aligned himself with the head coach. He's banking on Belichick having a plan in terms of what happens in the post-Brady era of Patriot football.
It'd be, listen, I love both of them. I have a ton of respect for both of them. But at this point, if I were to make a bet on Brady or Belichick, one being a 43-year-old quarterback and the other one, I don't care how old Bill Belichick is. He can do it for the next 10 years if he wants. I would put my money on Bill Belichick.
Well, long term you would, but for this year you'd probably go Brady. No,
no, this year. Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah. This year, but okay. I'm saying if I'm Robert Kraft, Dave.
Of course.
If I mean, who are you gonna like? Tom Brady on the Patriots is a whole hell of a lot different than Tom Brady on the Bucks now. As far as you know, which one you would trust more to have success? I mean, you're talking about between the two tight ends. I mean, Evans. I mean, you're talking about some of the best weapons in the league. He wouldn't have that those same weapons with the Patriots.
No, nothing even comparable. The weapons he has down in Tampa is far and away better than what he'd have in New England. I think there's a good chance at the end of the day, both of these guys have success. And we look at it and say, you know what, that was a win for Brady, and that was also a win for Belichick and the Patriots.
Okay, so let's define success. What's success for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year?
I think they need to go to the playoffs.
They got to be a playoff team?
I think so. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. With the weapons that they had, they were a 7-win team last year. Tom Brady coming in.
There's
I would agree with that.
Playoff team now, right? I mean, you
yeah, they had a quarterback that threw 30 interceptions. So yeah, right. I would expect that the upgrade at that position alone should be good for a couple of wins. So yeah, with them adding a team to each conference's playoff field, I would feel like a successful season for the Bucs would be them going to the playoffs. Now, what would it be for the Patriots?
I think it could be defined in a couple different ways. I think the success.
You'd have to say winning the division. You'd have to say winning the division.
Yes, but that's the actual tangible success on the field as far as wins losses are concerned, which I think is one of the ways. And I think the other way, which you mentioned, is success of Stidham. If you win 7 games and you look at Stidham and you're like, boy, he's really good. We have our future quarterback. I think that's also a win for the Patriots.
No, I agree with you, but I think in the court of public opinion, you know, if you're not looking that deep into it, With Tom Brady on the Patriots this upcoming season, they're going to win the division. So now without Tom Brady, you can't change the expectations for success can't change. I mean, it has to be the division. If they don't win the division and Brady ends up in the playoffs, that's a win for Brady.
Yes. Year one, that's a win for Brady.
And by the way, too, just something for you guys to think about before we go to break. I was thinking about this
morning.
Look
at you. Clock integrity. You got it all going on, huh?
Okay. Think about this, and I want your answers when we come back from break. Does the NFC South have, as a division, the best offensive weapons in the NFL?
NFC South, best weapons in the NFL. All right. We will attack that question in a moment. Did you hear how much water Tom Brady told Howard Stern he drinks in a given day?
It has to be gallons.
100 ounces of water a day, which equates to 3 liters of water.
I wouldn't be able to sleep for more than 35 minutes a night.
How many liters do you, or how many ounces would you say you get through a day?
Whew, I drink one, two.
You drink three. A lot of water.
I drink a lot of water. Yeah, I'm probably close to that. I don't keep track of it like he does. And by the way, too, I want to know, I wish Howard would ask him what he does to his hair. I mean, I want to know how you just grow hair back the way he grows hair back. I mean, 43, his hair is thicker than it's ever been in his life.
It's lustrous.
No, it just keeps, it's like a chia pet, it just keeps growing.
It's beautiful.
I'm jealous. I mean, you see pictures. They do that. Have you seen that the thing where they go back in time and they show a picture of him, like, first year all the way through?
Well, he looks younger now than he did years ago.
He looks younger, and his hair is way thicker, by the way. Like, you can start to see that, like, the front is going thin, and now all of a sudden, I mean, you can't even see his scalp. It's ridiculous.
So you wanted to know because you were curious for Brady, or you want to know because you're curious for you?
For me.
Uh-huh.
No, I could care less about Brady. I want to, wherever he's going, if it's bought, I want to go. Like, that's the information I need. Forget the water. I want to know why his hair keeps growing like that. Because I take this stupid biotin to try to get your hair, like, keep your hair healthy. And I got hair growing on my shoulders, my back. It's not growing on my head. Everywhere above my head.
That's what happens when you get to a certain age. It just starts to grow like wildfire.
My ears. You got to say,
yeah, I got
hair growing on my ears. It's disgusting.
Yep. I'm gonna have to shave my ears because I'm not going to the barber.
Yeah, I noticed in the little vignette you had the winter hat on. The hair a little bit out of control.
A little bit out of control. I look like the Unabomber out of control.
I thought you were Malibu's most wanted with that,
yeah,
with
no,
that winter hat.
It's
on.
All over the place. It's,
you
it's,
had that hat on. I got the I got a Freddie Mercury mustache.
Oh, I love that mustache. That mustache is great.
Do you know why I kept it, by the way? So here's a funny story. So I had the full beard going, and then I was like, you know what? I'll screw around with it. I had like big giant sideburns, and then I went with the mustache. So then one night we were playing Masked Singer. So my legs, we played Masked Singer. So we were playing, you know, he does his thing. I do my thing. He guesses who I am. And for some reason, at a certain point, we're in Florida. Cassie's dad has all this Queen stuff because he loves Queen. And he starts playing Milo some Queen music. So now Milo loves, like, if he wins, he sings We Are the Champions, like all of it. So I was like, you know what? I'll keep the mustache. I'll do Masked Singer and I'll sing a Queen song and see if he can guess, like, see if he, when I take the mask off,
and?
If he has any idea that. But no, I sang We Are the Champions.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know, I gave him hints. And he didn't know, he doesn't know Freddie Mercury's name, but he said he guessed that was the lead singer of Queen.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was good. It worked out.
Good. All right, so now why do you still have the mustache?
Oh, I'm too lazy to shave it.
All right. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN. And I've been scouring Twitter, Rick, and I found a terrific observation. I will get right over to you. I don't know if you have this one or not, but it's a certain head coach in the Big 12 that I think you should incorporate into an observations at 12:30 today. Now, we
Does
want to remind you.
Is What'd this a mulleted? Is this a mulleted head coach?
Could be a mulleted head could coach. Be. Could be a gentleman.
He's a grown man.
That he's a grown man.
He's a grown man.
He's 40. Yes. Could be one of the.
I'm
same.
A man. I'm 40.
Maybe it is.
During the break, I sent Rick my nomination for today's observations, Dave.
Nice.
I think I got a good one too.
I'm sure. There's plenty. Yeah. Plenty to go around.
Yeah.
Plenty to
a lot
go
of knobbish behavior.
Yes, a great deal of knobbish behavior. And one of the great stories, we lead in observations with people that are helping. I won't infringe on your territory for the 12:30 portion of the show, but there's one donation made which deserves a lot of conversation later in the show. All right, want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere you go. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN. On the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. 800-919-3776 is how you get involved in the show. All right, let's hear a little bit more from Tom Brady from the Stern Show earlier today. He knew before last season that it was his last one with New England.
I don't think there was a final decision, you know, until it happened. But I would say I probably knew before the start of last season that it was my last year. And I tried to, you know, I knew that, you know, it was just our time was, you know, our time was coming to an end.
And I think it makes sense, although none of us really believed it, right? We just sat here all year long saying, nah, I don't see it. And all the reports were the Jeff Darlingtons of the world said, this is it. This is going to fracture the relationship and they're going to move on. And until we saw it, we didn't believe it. But I guess this was legitimate the entire way, Chris, that this was going to be the end for Brady in New England.
No, it's legitimate, Dave, but I was one of those people that was saying that I won't believe it until I see it, just because it felt like it made too much sense for both parties to run it back in 2020. When you looked at the Patriots cap situation, they didn't have a hell of a lot of flexibility, and Tom Brady was going to count $13 million if he indeed did walk in free agency. So it made sense for them to try to restructure a deal or try to lock out an extension so that Tom Brady could continue to be a part of it. But I guess that they just decided to go their separate ways, and it feels more like Bill Belichick slammed the door on Tom Brady returning and he was forced to leave rather than Brady making the decision that he wanted to go somewhere else rather than be a Patriot anymore.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-919-3776 will get you in. Kevin in West Orange. Kevin, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right, Kev. What's on your mind, buddy?
Great. Yeah, it was an emotional day to call when your dad passed, so, yeah. talking about cricket. But nevertheless, before I go into my Tom Brady point, can I simply just shout my sister out because she's a nurse?
Yeah, we'd like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, she's Trudy, and she's on the front lines, and her hospital has coronavirus just written all over it. So she's doing, you know, what I would never dream of doing.
Well, but, we thank her, and we appreciate you giving the shout-out to her here.
Yeah, thank you very much. When I first moved to this country, I was never really a fan, so I was looking for a team to root for, and it was either the Chargers or the Patriots, because I like the Chargers because of LT, LaDainian Tomlinson. I was like, all right, I'll probably root for them. And then I saw, like, in 2005, Brady evolving into, like, you know, and I was like, dude, I love this team. I like the way they move, very military. And I was like, okay. But then now it just seems like it's not the military anymore. It's a dictatorship. And the fact that Robert Kraft let Bill Belichick push Brady out the door, I'm very disappointed at them. I'm not saying I'll become a Bucs fan. I'll always be a Brady.
But Kevin, at some point, don't you have to? Right? I mean, you just wanted to run it back forever? I mean, you're really disappointed in New England for wanting to move on?
I can understand the reasoning behind it because of age, but the thing is, I can't reconcile the fact that loyalty was never there. And for me, loyalty is huge.
And yeah, but that's what the Patriots. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I mean, this is who Bill Belichick is. This is who the Patriots are.
No,
I mean, Tom Brady's not the first you know, beloved Patriot that was sent packing a year too early as opposed to a year too late.
Yeah, no, that's correct.
As far as Bill Belichick is concerned, he gave him a couple extra years. Because if it was strictly his decision, he would have moved on.
Yeah, they would have gone Garoppolo years ago.
Well,
which doesn't seem like a crazy idea since Jimmy Garoppolo just ended up in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I guess that's how it is. But I just thought that Brady deserved a different level of loyalty than, you know, I mean, 6 Super Bowls, 9 in total.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If he's not going to win you a Super Bowl, if you feel comfortable, you're Bill Belichick saying to yourself, Tom Brady is not going to be capable with the talent around him to win us a Super Bowl. What does that mean? Could you imagine? What kind of message does that send to your team? What kind of message does that send to the rest of the NFL? I mean, yeah. that you as an organization are willing to walk away from the greatest quarterback, maybe the greatest football player of all time?
Yeah, you have to. If you don't stay ahead of the curve, you're going to get swallowed up in this league. And Belichick tried to a couple years ago, and it sounds like Kraft overruled him and said that's not going to happen. And this time, Belichick won out, and they moved on from Tom Brady. But I just don't understand these Patriots fans who are so despondent over the fact that they've moved on from Tom Brady. At some point, it happens with just about everybody in every sport, Chris.
No, it does, but you don't typically see a guy play 20 years in the same place and expect that he's going to finish his career somewhere else. I guess it's the shock to the system. I think that's what's catching a lot of Patriots fans off guard, and the more and more information that trickles out about how this whole thing evolved, it feels like Bill Belichick closed the door on Tom Brady coming back, and people can't understand how Belichick, as a coach and a general manager, can treat a guy that quarterbacked his teams to 9 Super Bowls and won 6 of them. So I think it's something that's hard for folks to understand. But like Rick said, this is what Tom Brady has benefited from during his 2 decades with the Patriots. Belichick making cold, calculated decisions and moving on from guys a year or two early as opposed to a year or two late, and them being able to replenish and stockpile talent around him so they can continue to have sustained success.
Now, today on ESPN Daily, what's not to love about Jordan Love? The Utah State quarterback will likely go as a top NFL draft pick, but his brilliance comes alongside moments that, well, they make you scratch your head. Hear why on ESPN Daily with Mina Kim. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. All right, guys, in these very trying times, important to remember we pulled together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Chris, you in the mood for pizza or empanadas right now?
Empanadas, Dave.
Okay. Zoe Lilly Empanadas food truck located in Rockaway Township, New Jersey. They're offering pickup and delivery Tuesday to Saturday, 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. Give them a call at 973-975-7401. That's Zoe Lilly Empanadas food truck, Rockaway Township, New Jersey. We'll get into some pizza a little bit later on during the course of the show. We bring in our good friend who's got questions galore, and that is Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Dave. Happy Wednesday to you guys.
You as well.
All right, CC, I got a question based upon your alma mater. You ready?
I'm locked and loaded.
The Ted Hendricks Award is given annually to the college football's top defensive end. University of Virginia has had one Ted Hendricks winner. Who was it?
Ooh, I'm going to go Chris Long.
You would be correct.
Nice.
Wow.
Give him the bell.
Fire.
Nice. Look at him. He's directing traffic now. Give him the bell.
Rick.
A game show host.
That's right.
Like Bob Rick, Barker it was here. Just 5 weeks ago that number 91 was raised to the rafters in honor of Butch Goring. I think there was another 91 on the Islanders at one point, but can't seem to remember who that was. My question to you is, what is the highest number of a sweater in New York Islanders history? It was not 91.
Pajama boy.
It was not 91. The highest number. Gosh, wore 79. The highest number was number. I'm going to go with 93.
No. Ryan Smith wore 94, and then Pierre-Marc Bouchard wore 96 for 1 year back in 2014.
Who could forget Pierre-Marc Bouchard?
The unforgettable.
Yes.
All right, Dave, you ready for your question?
I'm ready. You're going NFL draft, aren't you?
No, I'm going to go a little off. Okay. The late Sam Mills was a finalist for the Hall of Fame this year. Mm-hmm. He didn't get in. But had he gotten in, he would have been the fifth USFL player to eventually be enshrined in Canton. Can you name the four guys that started their career in the USFL and ended up in Canton?
Ooh. Jim Kelly.
Yes.
Reggie White.
Yes.
Does it have to be players?
Got to be players.
Mm-hmm. So Marv Levy is...
Bill Polian and Marv Levy, they don't count.
Yeah. I'm not sure if Gary Zimmerman is a Hall of Famer. We'll save him. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I guess I'll say Gary Zimmerman.
That's correct. Number three.
And there's one more?
Yep. You got Kelly, you got White, you got Zimmerman.
Oh. I don't know.
Is it a quarterback?
I feel like I know this. Is it a lefty quarterback?
ESPN Steve Young. A little help.
Nice.
Yep. Dave.
There you go. For the LA Express. Nice.
There you go. Good job, guys.
We combined to get it done. There you go. Good job.
Teamwork makes the dream work, baby.
That's right. I used to love the USFL. Loved it.
Of course you did. I mean, any football. I mean, yeah.
But it was good football.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, you act like I'm surprised. I mean, Chris, were you surprised when Dave said he loved it? I mean...
I don't love the XFL. I don't love the American Alliance for Football, but I really love the USFL.
Well, that's because you're old and jaded now. I mean, now you're all in on the NFL. You're not willing to experiment with different leagues.
I think you're right, actually. I don't know that another league could come along now and I'd be like all in on.
No, because another league's not going to come along and get the caliber of stars that the USFL was able to get out of college football. That's the biggest difference, isn't it?
Yeah, they had some. I mean, he just gave us Hall of Fame players. You're not going to get that from another league.
No,
No. I mean, it was good for but it was good for the XFL that you haven't guys signed to the NFL contract.
Sure, but that's the difference. You had Hall of Fame players with the USFL, and now with the XFL, guys are signing into the NFL.
Well, yeah, because the money disparity too. I mean, the USFL could offer you more money.
Right.
Look at how much money Steve Young. I mean, look at how much money Steve Young got initially.
Yep.
Wasn't Doug Flutie an XFL? I mean, a USFL guy?
Yeah.
Once upon a time?
Doug Flutie, Brian Sipe, Kelvin Bryant. I mean, tons of them. Chuck Fusina, Anthony Carter. There was tons of guys that were NFL caliber.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of them.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.